All right, good morning. Still hear crackling on the line. Okay, now it's gone. All right, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 14th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 90, starting with Sometimes It Is Wise to Wait, reading through one paragraph ending If He Cares to See You, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are Chris W. for the 12 Steps, Anne Marie M. for the 12 Traditions, Lynn F. reading our text, and Tamara C. reading page 164 at the closing. And thank you to Kathy S., who is our backup reader today. The reference number for Sunday, April 13th, 2025, for the special edition meeting is 22,340. That's 22340. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps. Thanks, Chris.
Hi, Chris W., Chris with a K from Nashville, Tennessee. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, Abby.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris W., for reading the 12 steps. And next up, I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions. Thanks, Anne Marie.
Yeah, you're welcome. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina, the 12 traditions. A common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles instead before personalities.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie, for reading the 12 traditions. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your share to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 90, starting with Sometimes It Is Wise to Wait, reading through one paragraph, ending If He Cares to See You, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph today. And I will now ask Lynn F. to begin reading. Thanks, Lynn.
Oh, thanks, Abby. Good morning, everyone. This is Lynn F., recovered in PA. Sometimes it is wise to wait until he goes on a binge. The family may object to this, but unless he is in dangerous condition, it is better to risk it. Don't deal with him when he is very drunk, unless he is ugly and the family needs your help. Wait for the end of the spree, or at least for a lucid interval. Then let his family or friend ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so. If he says that yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. You should be described to him as one of a fellowship who, as part of their own recovery, tried to help others and who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. Thank you so much, and this is Lynette again. And the part that I align with in this paragraph is to wait for the end of the spree. You know, it tells us in the book that a man's brain should be befogged. Does that mean I don't work with someone who's in the food? No, it means I do work with them, and I help them establish their food plan, their commitment to recovery, the steps getting underway. It doesn't take long, right? If someone is willing, do I express their, how do I bring them to the book? How do I ask if they're willing? I don't have the experience of incorporating the family today. But I find that interesting. When I'm working with a newcomer or someone, who may be a protege, I bring them to the book on page 58. It tells me if you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length, then you're ready to take certain steps. For me, that means lantern, being the guide, carrying this message in all my affairs. I may not have someone ready to go every moment of every day. However, I am walking the path every day. I'm available every day. I'm reminded of a story. I went on a field trip with my daughter when she was in middle school, and I weighed and measured my food in a very busy restaurant with a bunch of teenage girls. And I was kind of PO'd at my sponsor for not giving me a pass for that meal. And at the end of the meal, when we were out in the, and about, someone asked me what I was doing. And they were a person who needed to hear the message. So thank you, God, that I'm willing to walk this path today. And I'm not sure where I'm going to meet someone who's ready to go, but I'm ready. So that's what I have, and I'll pass. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, Lynn, for getting us started. That was Lynn S. from Pennsylvania. Thank you so much. All right. I will take a list of names. I do just want to say that we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Christina.
Lena
B.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Elena
and Janice. And Janice.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
There was I didn't hear the man's name.
Larry K.
Larry, thank you. All right, so I have Christina J., Elena C., Lisa B., Janice PM, Robin P., and Larry K.
Lee H.
And Lee H. All right, let's go with that. Christina D. followed by Elena C. Go ahead, Christina.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. One word sticks out to me, not from the paragraph, from my own intuitive definition of this reading, which is the word misery. My protege, or whoever it is, myself, in any addiction has to be in complete misery. When I'm in the food, I'm in misery, but I'm not ready for anyone to talk to me. You know, sometimes I want to keep going. You know, when I used to binge, I wanted to keep going, and I was ashamed, and I didn't want anyone to talk to me. But the minute I come out, I start to come out and have that horrible, I don't have to explain it to anyone, it's the most horrible feeling once you've gone back into the food. And you have to now deal with yourself. You have to come out of the cravings. You have to come out of your body, your body's reaction to all the crap in your system, you know, the nights that are miserable that you go through as you're coming out of this thing. You're ready to make a commitment again, maybe a new commitment. I don't know. But, you know, you can't approach a guy or a woman or anybody until they're in misery. Misery is the doorway to the freedom, to be ready for someone to talk to you. And I think we as recovered people and people in recovery, we have to recognize when that door is open, or we will have it, you know, the door will be shut in our face, and that's basically it. You know, we can't make anybody in it. And it talks about in the big book how we can actually cause damage by trying to force someone. And, you know, when I was new in program, I wanted to preach this to the world, like many of us, from the mountaintops, there is a freedom you can attain, right? And that was my pink cloud days. I had to go through many, many relapses to get to this state of what I want to say is really recovering on the soul level. And that's what waits for you out there if you're still on the food, a real soul-level recovery. And I've said this before, and many, many people have, not about the food. It is about the food when we're burying ourselves in it to try to not face life, but this program gives us a way to face life. And it's not easy sometimes, but most of the time, once you get into the routine of it, it's beautiful. So anyway, going back to, you know, the Sherpa who guides the person through, the person has to be ready. And misery is the doorway that the person has to be standing at and engulfed in. And then they're going to cry out, help me, help me, help me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Elena C., followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Elena.
Good morning, Abby. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered for today. And sometimes it's wise to wait till he goes on a binge. What happens on a binge, and what happened for me, and what happened for others I hear talking about is the gift of desperation, is the pain and suffering that compulsive overeating causes. It's like, oh, I can eat this only and I can stop. And no, I can't. Yes, I'm going to eat one more, I'll stop. And one more, I'll stop. And then the guilt and the confusion afterwards. And so that pain and suffering could be the motivator. It was the motivator for me when I came here to want to stop and to want to go to any length to do so. So I remember that the last time I really binged was I already knew about OA and a vision, and I was invited at a party, and of course I offered to bring the cake, and I brought the cake, and you know, I called one of my friends in OA and I said, listen, I'm gonna go to a party, I'm gonna bring the cake, and I'm gonna have one slice. And she said, okay, then tell me what happens. Just call me and let me know what happened. I'm curious, you know. And of course I couldn't have one bite. She didn't tell me don't eat. She let me go. And I experienced that. And then I was ready. Then I was ready. I'm done, you know. And I was willing to go to any length to stop that, stop the pain. It wasn't only that I desired to lose weight. That was primary at that time. I'm like, I want to lose weight. But I also desire to not to find something that will help me stop that pain. Because it was that powerlessness, that impossible things that, you know, that I had to have when I was on a binge. I just was by myself with my food, and nobody else, and there was nothing I can do. I had no idea what to do. And I'm so glad that today I know that that void can be filled with my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Are you there, Abby?
Hi, thank you so much. I'm trying to find my minimized screen that I just lost on my computer. Thank you so much, Elena C., for sharing today. And I found my screen back. Okay, thank you. All right, that was Elena C. from South Carolina. Thank you so much. And next up, we have Lisa B. and Janice, followed by Janice P.M. Thanks, Lisa, and thanks for checking on me.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A, and thank you for your service, Abby. I love this reading, and the part that jumps out for me, you should be described to him as one of a fellowship who is part of their own recovery, try to help others, and who will be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. So as a recovered compulsive overeater, I'm getting to know my surrendered self more and more, and when I become willing to act on faith, God helps me create miracles for myself and to assist others in creating their own miracles. And community is so important in my program. This process, this spiritual experience, doesn't occur unless it's not about me. It's not about me. I have to have other compulsive overeaters and have a fellowship. And I don't know how to describe what that noise is, but it's a big noise. This process, it's so much about step 12 and step 1. There's such a connection. Desperation, those, you know, the step one, desperation is about being out of ideas and notions that there's another way that I can do this. And I'm not going to want to do this work of the 12 steps if there's like another way that I can do this. But when there's desperation, that's when I can start. And I want to reach out then and take the hand of a recovered sponsor. And as a recovered sponsor, when I'm helping another, I get to keep my recovery, but I keep asking my higher power for help and direction on how I can be of service and how I can be useful to this person and not care more about their recovery than they care about it. You know, that's the thing. I have to really be very clear on that. So, yeah, I need to care more about my own recovery and share kindly what's worked for me. But if I start caring more about their recovery than they're caring, that's when a problem begins. So I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be abstinent and recovered. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. Next up, we have Janice PM, followed by Robin P in Costa Rica. Go ahead, Janice.
Well, thank you so much, and good morning to you, Abby, and all my family. My name is Janice PM, and I am a recovered, grateful recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Well, in this chapter, working with others, there's some wonderful directions specific to the sponsor and the sponsee, the one that's helping them. Because I believe that the service that I give, the job, is to guide them through the 12 steps. So first of all, I have to have been gone through the 12 steps. Now, in order for me as a sponsor to be useful, the first thing I do, if I know somebody's calling me at 10 o'clock, I pray. And I ask my God to give me real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints, because, you know, I tend to, this, that, and an attitude, maybe on the wrong side or whatever. And that has to change, of course. Help me, you know, to enlarge my own spiritual life. Now, the things that I have to look for and what I know that I cannot give them is the willingness to do this work. You know, sometimes somebody will say, do I have to do that every day? And I say, yes. And they go, but I have this and that. And then I go on. And I also say to them, not to them, but I know that I can't give them the willingness and I cannot give them a higher power. Because through my experience, like it was already wonderfully said, they have to be desperate. They have to be, there's no other place to go, like myself. I can give them my story, you know, so that they can identify in. And, you know, everything I tried didn't work. So that has to come from them. I can't give them that desperation. I can just tell them how I recovered, I did that, blah, 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 and know that it's a fatal progressive illness. Any circumstances doesn't give me recovery. You know, it's through the grace of a higher power. And I start that right away, because they'll say, I got this to do. I just lost my son. I just did this. And I understand. And I think that's the best thing that I can say is I understand. And I do understand most of the things that they say. So, it's like... That's what I have to do. And I have to carry the message. But my message is me. I'm the message. I have to show them. Or maybe they listen to me on the meetings for many years or whatever. And they like what I said. They like how I said it. Some people don't. So what? Right? You get them when they're, you know, the big thing is the desperation. When they're clear, you can hear the clarity in them. And that's the qualifications of a sponsor. And it comes with time. We're not there to give them recovery because I'm powerless. And they tried like myself, and I'm powerless. So I know in my heart that the only reason why I'm doing this is this is my purpose. Okay, thank you very much. To my only way in my heart is to be useful and have tolerance and love for another. And that way I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Janice PM from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Robin P. in Costa Rica, followed by Larry K. Robin P., go ahead.
Thanks so much, Abby. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a really grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, you know, this is an important paragraph for me because it says, when I first came into this program, into Vision, and everyone was saying they were recovered, I thought, what did they say? They're recovered? Oh my gosh. And I thought, that's amazing that they could say that. And now for 9 years, I've been calling myself a recovered compulsive overeater. And it feels like such a blessing and the truth. You know, I'm not cured. I'm recovered today. And as long as I keep doing what I'm meant to do every day to be of service to God and my fellows. And it's just such a blessing. And I'm just so grateful to be able to say that I'm recovered today and to be of service. And, you know, when I work with people, I just ask them, just like I was asked, are you willing to go to any lengths to recover? Do you believe that you've hit bottom? And if people say no, I just say, just pray to hit bottom. Because if you're not desperate enough, people just don't, in my experience is if they haven't hit bottom, they're not ready. And when someone's ready, it is such a joy. I'm working with someone right now who's just so willing, and it's such a blessing. And when I feel like I want it more than they want it with some people, it's just, it's codependency on my part. And so I just get to keep practicing how I get to be of service to people. We are leaving here on Thursday. We're leaving Costa Rica for... possibly for good, possibly for, 8 months, taking a day at a time. I believe I'm meant to live in London and go to New York first, and we're going to Houston first for my husband's cataract surgery, and all of this travel, all of these plans, and all of this abstinently by God's grace and mercy. And we're bringing these two dogs who were homeless jungle dogs, who we love very much and have not been able to find them a home here. And we are taking them with us to the U.S. We would be very grateful for prayers. We've flown with them twice before, and it has always been very, very, very intense. Until now, so I'm just putting out, there could be a new thing where we're practicing a lot of new things this time, and I hope that they all work. And, we just really love these dogs, and we're doing our very best. And I'm so grateful to be abstinent and recovered today, because there is so much going on in our lives that if I didn't have this program, I would just be in hell. And I'm so grateful that I get to live in the fourth dimension today. And thank you. And I get to keep practicing these principles in all my affairs. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. in Costa Rica. Next up, we have Larry K., followed by Lee H. Go ahead, Larry.
Thanks, Abby. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive reader, and I live in Chicago. So if he says he wants to quit for good, his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. So let's take a look at the suggestion in action. You know, Bill met Dr. Bob on Mother's Day, May 12, 1935, in the home of Henrietta Sieberling in Akron, Ohio. And keep in mind just how reluctant Dr. Bob was. He was essentially dragged by his wife, Ann Smith, to the meeting. Dr. Bob was hungover, he was irritable, full of self-pity, angry, needless to say, he was reluctant. And Dr. Bob was attending meetings at the time of the Oxford Group, focused on spiritual principles, but he hadn't found lasting sobriety. So he was very reluctant in meeting with Bill. And, you know, what was this first conversation like, and why did it last for a few hours rather than a few minutes? By the way, Bill was only sober 5 months at that time. See, Bill, he could have easily drawn attention to Dr. Bob, but he didn't. See, how often in working with others have I drawn attention to them subtly, kindly, but subtly, in their behavior? And when we do this, we put them on the defensive. The ego is designed to protect ourselves and deflect criticism, even if the criticism is constructive. So when faced with constructive criticism, the ego, what does it do? It interprets it as a threat. See, Dr. Bob thought, wow, he told Ann Smith, I can't believe this, how well this guy understood me. And yet, interestingly enough, Bill never spoke at all about Dr. Bob. He drew attention to himself. And Dr. Bob's ego didn't have to distort the way that, you know, that this conversation was interpreted. You know, there was no fear of vulnerability, because criticism, even constructive, can evoke feelings of vulnerability, and the ego will do anything to minimize that, so people will deflect and they'll push away from that. So what I try to do today is draw attention to myself, what my eating was like, how horrible it was, what happened, what it's like today. I wear my sponsorship like a loose-fitting garment. I don't grasp it tightly. I draw attention to myself, not others. What great, great advice coming right from our book here, right from our text. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much. That was Larry Kay from Chicago. Next up is Lee H. But let me just tell you what we're reading today. So for those of you who came on late, it is, today we're reading in the big book on page 90, starting with sometimes it is wise to wait. And we read through that one paragraph ending, if he cares to see you. And we're just commenting on that one paragraph today. So next we have Lee H. And then after Lee, I will take another lineup. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, good morning, Abby. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Lee H., a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. And this chapter is amazing, and the longer I'm in this program, the more I get so much out of this chapter working with others, and I've heard so many good things the last few days in helping me to be a better sponsor. I think when I first sponsored, I was so used to not speaking, and I was told, you know, don't talk about yourself, you know, be interested in the other person. And so it was hard for me to tell my story completely. And I see the importance of really talking about what it was like and what happened, and then what am I like today. And you know, another thing about this chapter, I mean, about this paragraph, is talking about the fellowship, and then the idea that, you know, we talk about helping others as part of our fellowship, and that idea was so different to me. I really didn't want to actually get out there. I didn't think I had the ability to help others, but I like the idea that, you know, I need to pray and I need to have love and tolerance for other people where they are, because it is a serious, deadly disease that we're talking about. And the person, you know, there's so many facets to this. And honestly, I don't think I could do it if I just didn't pray first and ask God to help me. And then just, you know, follow the big book, which I appreciate more and more every day, taking people through this big book. I was asked to take somebody through a different kind of recovery book, and I tried it, and I realized it just is not, doesn't, there's something about this big book that is so important to read with newcomers. And I love the way that, you know, as we read through the book, we get to know each other and we tell each other, you know, we identify in with the disease more and more, and we share with each other. And really and truly, there's the potential to become really good friends. And it takes a long time. It is a long process, but it doesn't have to be. But I have made such good friends in this program, and I rely on them. And the more I reach out and get to know others, I'm just so thankful that we have this fellowship. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Lee H. from Tennessee. And I will now go ahead and take another lineup. So who would like to share today?
Kim A.
Vasa O.
Vasa
Tony
O.
B.
Tony B.
Donna M.
Donna
Lisa
M.
Lisa B.
Lisa B. Let's start with that. I have Kim A, Vasa O, Tony B, Donna M, and Lisa B. All right, go ahead, Kim A, followed by Vasa O.
Thanks. Hi, this is Kim A from New York City. You know, the whole big book is full of explicit directions for us, and this chapter is no different, right? It's telling us what to do, and it's telling us what not to do. And as always, it's based on the experience of the people who wrote the book. And they make it clear over and over and over, we're not selling anything. We're not here to convince anybody of anything. All we're here to do is show up where we're needed and plant the seed by talking about ourselves. And like somebody had talked about how Bill's first meeting with Dr. Bob, Dr. Bob was going to give him something like 5 minutes, no more, maybe it was 10 minutes. And they ended up talking for hours because Bill was talking about his own drinking, right? We learned back in the doctor's opinion that the only message that can have depth and weight for a suffering compulsive eater has to come from somebody who's had the problem and solved it, right? And by solved it, I don't mean like I figured out how to control my compulsive eating. My problem was solved by going through the steps and learning how to turn my will and my life, my thoughts and my actions over to the care of my higher power. The steps taught me how to do that. So, you know, it's the same thing when Ebby showed up at Bill's house. Bill didn't want to hear anything. Bill was, you know, two sheets to the wind. He was drunk. He just wanted to drink more. But because he knew how Ebby drank, he was willing to listen. And so when we're out there helping newcomers, not just newcomers that come to us, but actively, like, seeking out newcomers, or seeking out people that, you know, we feel we could possibly help, we're not asking them a bazillion questions at first. You know, we're not talking about God. We're not talking about spirituality. We're talking about the way that we ate. And that's why I'm continually coming on this meeting and saying, listen, working at Food Plan didn't work for me. There's another way to do it, because I can only help somebody in the way that I was helped. And after 18 years of chronically relapsing, because I couldn't stick to a food plan, I couldn't stick to avoiding ingredients and triggers. None of that stuff worked for me. All I can do is show up and say, listen, there's something different that worked for me, and I'm happy to tell you about it. That's how we help people, right? And we help people by being willing to sponsor, even if we don't want to, by telling our story, even if we don't want to. Who wants to, like, go out there and tell their story? But this chapter teaches us, I think it's the first paragraph that tells us that we're actually immune to compulsive eating if we're doing intensive work with newcomers. And intensive, I'll wrap up, thanks. Intensive is a judgment call, but it's more than, you know, just making 3 random phone calls a day. It's really going out and helping people. And I'll wrap up with that. Thanks. This is Kim A. from New York City.
Thank you so much, Kim A. from New York City. Next up, we have Vasa O., followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Vasa.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Abby, for your service. And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And my Abby, I can relate. Excuse me one second. I can relate with Bill's story, how Abby, he went to Abby. My Abby came to my house, and I was just amazing what she was telling me about her disease and how she became over the food addiction. And she said to me, you know, she 12-stepped me for about a week before she took me to my first meeting. And she did that for every day we talked about it. Excuse me one second. Excuse me about this. Every day we talked about it, and she didn't have to convince me of anything. I had the, you know, I was just so desperate, you know. And she kept on telling me, Vasa, once I started and surrendered to the program, and she said, you're the easiest person I have ever had to vote to sponsor, because you're just so willing, and you're doing it, and you want to go to any length to overcome the food addiction that I had been suffering for 25 years of my life. And I wanted to stop. Of course I wanted to stop over those 5 years, 25 years. I fought it. It was a battle. And she said, you can do this, you know. Just follow the direction, the way they're laid out in the big book, and how those men and women, honey, men and women, recovered. And I was introduced to the big book right from the beginning, and this is what I was reading. This is what you guys are doing here every single day. But I did it only once a week in those days, the big book. I went to regular OA meetings. And then later on, of course, we combined the big book with the OA too over the years. And my motivator, the suffering was my motivator, and I was willing and I was ready and willing to go any length to just to recover, not with the food addiction, not just along with the food addiction, but number one was the food. I had to put the food down, what I heard, to have the clarity to go through the steps the way they laid out. And no matter what goes in my life, I never go back to the food. I listened to Special Edition yesterday. It was awesome. Well, the callback number, it was just awesome. I need to be reminded every single day not to go back to the relapse, you know. I've gone through so many difficult times over the years. Thank you very much. In OA, but I'm keeping my food down. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Vasa O in Florida. Next up, we have Tony B, followed by Donna M. Tony B, go ahead.
Thank you, Abby. My name's Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Scotland. This is a great paragraph, and the shares have been wonderful. It makes me think that there's a lot of this is still very relevant, some of it not so much. I don't have to generally wait till someone goes on a binge. Most often sponsees will come to me still in the food, and I need to work with them to get their abstinence. I make it very clear from the beginning that the food needs to be down for a couple of days before we can work together. So I am dealing with them when they're drunk, I guess, in that first conversation where I'm sort of saying how we're going to be working. But the family isn't generally involved. And people are generally coming, I would say, as well, who have been in OA. And my experience was that I was in OA and was for a long time, since 2011 to beginning of 23 when I when I put the food down and got recovered, without anybody saying to me that they were a recovered person. And, you know, it's not somebody else introducing me as a recovered person. It's myself saying I am a compulsive overeater. I'm always going to be a compulsive overeater. I'll never be cured. I have to keep doing this work, but I am recovered. And if you are willing to go to any length, then you can get that too. And that is that's very, very appealing. And, you know, then if they're willing, yes, the food goes down and we start working. And I think it's important too that I make it clear that this is key for my recovery. So right at the beginning, I say I'm doing this because this is the best way that I can stay recovered. Nothing provides immunity from compulsive overeating like intensive work with other compulsive overeaters. Sponsorship, and I make that really clear from the beginning that as soon as they've begun their amends process, then they'll be moving into sponsorship steps 10, 11, and 12, and they will need to be to be doing that for their own recovery to last. So it's a bit more of me introducing myself as these things, and I'm so grateful that I found Vision, where people describe themselves as recovered and where the message is so clear that how important sponsorship is. So with that, I will share the time. Thank you, and I love you all. Bye now.
Thank you so much, Tony B. All right, next up we have Donna, followed by Lisa B. Donna, go right ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. And this reading reminds me of two things. Tradition 5, which states our main purpose is to carry the message of how we have recovered from a hopeless condition as a compulsive overeater. And also the part in, I think it is in More About Alcoholism, that talks about the first step of starting to, if you're struggling with thinking that you can control, to test and start drinking and stop abruptly. So I am very aware today that when I start working with a prospect, that I do ask if they're willing to quit for good and able to go to any extreme. And I also ask that that they be willing to carry the message to other compulsive overeaters. But I do talk about myself at the beginning and share my experience and hope of one who struggled for close to 3 decades in and out of the rooms once I first came in. And today, it has close to over five years, but the realization that entire abstinence is key. And I talk about that, you know, how deluded I was and the long process I took to letting go of everything. I mean, in the end, it was the behaviors that I struggled to let go of. And I'm so grateful today. I am, and working with others is not just working with newcomers. I'm working with someone today who has been in OA for many years and struggled. You know, the disease got worse in OA, and she left because she gained weight in OA and the shame around that. And I'm so grateful that I can share the message that there recovery is possible in OA. We can recover following the specific instructions for those who struggle like me in the big book. So thanks for the opportunity to share, and I pass.
Thank you All right. Thank you so much. That was Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. And next up, we have Lisa B., and we'll probably have time for one more. Lisa B., go right ahead.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B. I'm from Michigan. I'm a compulsive overeater. When I was listening and reading, I've had struggles with being a sponsor, and I feel like a lot of times that I've done everything wrong, but thankfully learning a little bit at a time. It's been a gradual process, but a lot of times, like in my zeal to try to help somebody, I overwhelm them with too much information, and by sharing, you know, too much of my own story, or being too rigid with boundaries and things like that about what I require. But when I surrender to God and ask Him to guide me, it goes so much better. I've often tried to make someone recover when they're not willing to go to any lengths, because that was my experience when I first came here. I too was still trying to do it my way, but gradually I took more and more direction from my sponsors and have gotten to the complete surrender and gotten recovered, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm hopeful at some point in the future I'll be able to sponsor more people. But in the meantime, I do as much service as I reasonably can. It's always a work in progress, for sure. And keep putting my name out there. And that helps me stay in neutrality and a place of peace and serenity. Thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Lisa B. from Michigan. And we have time for one more. So who would like that share?
Hello, Mary K.
Sorry, I heard two people.
Mary J. Alexis F.
Sorry, Alexis. We're going to go with Mary J. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, my name is Mary J. and I live here in California. And the word that I keep hearing and that is so key in my life and in the key of pivotal for each person that I sponsor is the willingness. And once, if I recognize that I'm resisting something, I pray for the willingness and I repeat that over and over again until my higher power makes me willing. And so that's what I share with each person that I sponsor, is that, are you willing? And you know, if not, I love the fact that then you just let them go. You know, they may crash, but then they may awaken to the miracle of abstinence and being more in tune with, you know, what our higher power have created us to be. So I love that. I probably heard on this meeting 100 times willing, the word willing. So with my heart and soul, this is my second or third time of sharing, I'm willing to share on this meeting the joy of a vision and the things that I've learned here. So I'm very grateful, and I'm willing today and always. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary J. in California. All right, Alexis, do you want to share for 1 minute?
Okay, this is Alexis F. From New Jersey, East Coast Time. Thank you for your service. And I came into vision about 3 years ago, and I realized it was the premier meetings of OA. And I had a daughter who was in another sect of the program, and she wasn't doing too well. So I kept telling her, you know, want to try vision. it's more spiritual than just talking about food all the time. You know, you're not going to get anywhere just hearing, you know, abstinence is the most important thing in my life. So one day I was listening to a meeting in front of her, and she heard someone on this meeting say something that was relevant to her life, and she immediately called her up and became her sponsor, and she's lost 70 pounds already. And I didn't have a recovered sponsor. I had a sponsor, but from another program, and I didn't recover until I had a recovered sponsor. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alexis F. from New Jersey. All right, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, April 14th, 2025, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,341. That's 22341. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tamara C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Reading until keep you until then. Thanks, Tamara.
You're welcome. This is Tamara C., recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and pray events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.